It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Hey there, team. I'm really excited to share today's episode with you because I got to welcome back special guest Iggy Perillo, who is a leadership coach, and we talked about culture. Culture is a huge topic for your organization and your team. It can go pretty much any which way. Is your team super duper competitive? Is your team super duper focused on fun times? Are there some things about your team that maybe you'd like to change in the future? This is a great time to do it. So we talk a lot about where everyone's at right now with their leagues and how this moment in history is like the most flexible your team might ever be for changing culture and what you can do about it, about, you know, embracing the things you want to keep and maybe tweaking a few things that you don't and what that might look like in the future and how you could approach it and be a part of it. So without any other further nonsense from me, let's go into the conversation with Iggy about your league's culture. Joining me on the podcast this week is Iggy. Iggy's back. Hi, Iggy.
Hello. Excited to be back.
Iggy, if people didn't hear the first episode where we talked about empowering new leaders, can you give just like a real brief background of why I like talking to you so much?
I'll try. My organization is WSL Leadership, and I help folks lead and work together better. And I think we like talking to each other. I like talking with you too, because I think we both recognize that there's so much potential in the world of roller derby for excellent leadership and excellent teams and excellent leagues. And people aren't always prepared or trained, or that's not always the first thing on their mind when they're like, oh, I need to get a bout out. Oh, I need to get my team together. You know, there's just so many competing needs to folks in the world of derby because of the nature of derby being so in terms of hierarchy, like so many people are doing so much work all the time that is not always the priority. It's awesome to pay some attention to leaders and leadership and helping new leaders that will get into being the best leader they can be. And I know a lot of leagues have recently had sort of seasonal elections. So there's more new leaders again in like board and committees and stuff like that is kind of often for many leagues happens at the start of the year. So folks can go back and listen to that thing and we're going to even keep going forward. But that's, I think I enjoy talking with you because I think we share this investment in leadership as a potential to make huge differences within leagues and teams and the people around them.
I gave that episode a re-listen before getting on with you today. And that was such an all-encompassing conversation. I think it was even difficult to give that episode a title, but it was just so,
right.
It was so good to just talk about different aspects of leadership, the challenges, especially with like the passing of the torch and communication between people. Mm-hmm. And so today's topic we want to talk about is culture. And I think this is going to be really interesting, especially now more than ever, because I've been in a lot of leagues. I've seen a lot of leagues. I've worked with a lot of leagues. There are a lot of different types of cultures, a lot of people in different spectrums in their culture as far as like competitive versus fun, or if we're going to be a little bit more like militant in our like practice style versus a little bit more like, I don't know, wee. And I think
exactly the two different styles are militant or wee-wee. Like that's it.
Those are the technical terms. It was in a book, I'm pretty sure. And I think now there's a lot of teams who still haven't come back to practice, mine being one of them. And I wonder if we're even going to return to the same culture we had, you know, like the people who are gung-ho about things and being really excited and driven, are they going to be that way anymore? Like, is the team culture going to be different? And so because everything could be so up in the air, this is an interesting time to kind of question, how do you change your team's culture if you don't like the direction it's heading and you don't feel like it's in a healthy place?
Sure. That's a huge question. I mean, yeah. We're going to wrap this up in like 5 minutes, so that's no problem.
Yeah.
But I think people mean sort of different things by when they say culture. I think you covered a lot of the sort of vibe feelings of culture, but I'm wondering how you would define culture in like a team culture for your derby team. Like, what is culture mean to you? Is it my first question?
It's so hard because I think it's so many things. I wish I could sum it up in a beautiful sentence, but in my head, team culture is, it's almost an unspoken feeling you all have about the team, but it's basically the amount of drive you all have, how hard you want to go on your goals, how much you enjoy each other's company, and how much you include everybody in the organization in the process of what you're doing. I think that's culture. I think the culture is like the feeling and the emotion and are we all in this together? And are we going the same way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great definition. Yeah, no, it is. And I think it is huge. And I think there's other part where culture, like the question is like, who creates culture then? Or how is culture created, right? If culture is maybe sort of shared values, shared behaviors, shared mindset toward all these different things, you know, who we are, how we operate, militant or who, or, you know, competitive or yay, or, you know, whatever it is, who is in charge of all of this then? Like whose job is culture? And I think there was a blog I wrote once that your culture is defined by the worst behavior you'll tolerate. And so that's like sort of this other side of culture, that the worst behavior you'll tolerate defines what your culture is. So if you're like, well, no one needs to show up on time, like we tolerate people being late all the time, like your culture is a culture of people who are late all the time, you know, like that's, your culture is defined by that. It's sort of another piece of it, right? So there's sort of, but who gets to define that one person who's late all the time, or the people who tolerate people being late all the time, you know? So I'm curious how you would articulate who's in charge of culture, maybe, or who defines it.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing as far as examples of, you can tell what a team's culture is. If you randomly stop by someone's practice, the first person who talks to you and how they talk to you could be an example of what the team's culture is. If they ignore you, or they're suspicious of you being there, or I don't know, they're just kind of like, I don't know, the wall is up, you kind of know a little bit about that organization. Or if two players have a disagreement over something during practice, which can happen at any point in time, how high does that escalate and how do we resolve it? And, you know, how does everyone take that? You know, I hope it wouldn't come to blows, but, yeah. You know, that would be an example of a culture, right?
Yeah, right, right. That we solve our problems with wrestling and fighting, you know, physical fighting solves problems. Like, could be, if your culture tolerates that, or if that behavior is tolerated. And I think you're speaking to this other idea that I've come around to this part, this kind of concept that culture is sort of what we see sort of pretty far downstream. We're like, oh, that team, and even within a league that has different home teams, like they sort of have their own little home team cultures sometimes. And so like, oh, this is like the really fun team. And, you know, I think a lot of it is codified in terms of how the team presents themselves to you. Like, oh, this team, you know, how, and even within different leagues too, it's the same thing. Like some leagues and teams are like, oh, we're really focused on being competitive. Some are like, oh, we're really focused on being fun as one, but some have like sort of their mascot or their imagery or their, you know, these kind of pieces help articulate their culture out to other people. And I think that is one, that's a pretty far downstream vision of what culture is. Like we can see it from a distance. We can look at it and be, I can look at your website and be like, oh, you know, it's informative or it's not, or there's lots of pictures or there's not, you know, like whatever it is, or that you have a website or you don't, you know, whatever. Like these are pieces of culture I can see from the outside. But I think the more complex piece of this is that culture is actually the downstream effect of a whole ecosystem within your league. And the ecosystem is who the people are that are there, the behavior of the people who are there, but also every single piece along the way, the space you're in, the space you pursue, like physical space affects the ecosystem. You know, if we're all like cramped in together, we can barely move, or if we have room to spread out and be apart, you know, from each other. These aspects of every piece of the ecosystem affects what culture is. And so we can't be like, oh, well, you just need to fix who the people are and that'll fix everything. I'm like, well, it might or might not, because you might have these bylaws or laws or, you know, codes of conduct and things like that that are super draconian and people are like fearing punishment all day. Or, and that might play out as like, oh, we have this really hazing culture for new skaters who roll in. Or, you know, like these pieces that we see downstream are parts of this bigger, more complicated ecosystem. And so it's much more complex than to be like, hey, be nice to everyone. Like, hey, don't fight physically when you have a problem. Like those are sort of like the band-aids, right, on the top of culture, but not addressing this deeper ecosystem of what the culture is in that league or that team, you know, that space, that organization.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have this assumption that culture is a top-down thing, that it's the people who are up top who are defining all of it for us. And if our culture is bad, it must be their fault. But there's so many more pieces right to that. Like you were saying, it's the people who are there every day. Whether or not you have a title, it's the people who have been like longstanding in the organization who define the culture. And then other people come in and they become a part of that. And either the culture evolves with the new people and new ideas, or these people evolve to fit your culture. And then it just keeps going from there. And that could be good or bad, depending on the type of culture you have. So do we just blame these people at the top? What should we be doing?
I think some leagues that have been around for a while, I think you speak to this part where leagues who have been around for a little while, they have sort of the original founders, the original core, the original team, then new people. But these original core couple folks have tons of power and influence over all the new people. Like, oh, well, this is how we started. This is how we did it when I was, you know, this is how we began. This is our origin story. You know, this carries a lot of weight. And so those new people coming in with more new ideas sometimes get swept to the side, even though like numerically, you know, if you just look at the number of people, it's like three, you know, people from the three of the founding crew and 25, you know, 20 new folks have come in since the dawn of time and the beginning of the league. So like these, like numerically, the numbers don't play out, but that it's not like a democracy, but it's, there is influence and there is like how these people have been around has a huge impact on how long people have been around, can have a huge impact on these pieces of culture, which is back to this like ecosystem. So how do we change a whole ecosystem, right? How do we like change every part of this at the same time, which then your brain explodes, right? Like, oh, I need to change who's there, how they act, what they do, how they interact, what they, how they behave, their tone of voice, the social media that they put out, you know, like there's just like so much of this, right? And I think the first step is to really look, introspect and look in really closely at what I think we talked about this before. What are our aspirational values and mission and vision? What are our actual day-to-day behaviors that are supported or not supported, tolerated or not tolerated? And that can be like a really simple, like, oh, we say we're a really transparent league, but transparency is weaponized to like make sure that the people that don't do quite what we want are like hung out to dry all the time. You know, like transparency means we roast you on social media if you do something wrong. Like that's not really like a great use of transparency, right?
Oh, cringe. So but
this is like the guise of transparency or the guise of, you know, like, oh, we're really inclusive, but like, are you like, you know, like our arms are wide open, like is not necessarily an inclusive space to just have wide open arms. Like that doesn't necessarily speak inclusivity to other people necessarily. So how do we look at what we actually do, what ours actually are, and what our values are actually, like what behaviors support those values every day in this organization? And I think these conversations are had once at the beginning, and then we built a poster and we popped it on the website and away we go. Like we got it, you know, like, I don't think we often revisit these kind of messy, meaty, but substantive conversations that are challenging. Like, what do we value as a league? What are we, what do we stand for? Like, what matters? And I think those conversations are messy because, like, exactly like you were saying, we expect it to be top down. Like, well, the bosses are going to tell us if this is okay or not. Well, my captain is going to tell me. Well, my, you know, the board, the president, the, you know, the management, the leadership of the league is going to, you know, come down and put the smack down on everyone and, you know, like hold us all in line, which doesn't happen and isn't going to happen. And so the behavior of everyone is really what matters. Like, what is the behavior that your newest person, your newest newbie who just showed up, doesn't know how to skate yet, what behavior do you want them to be able to uphold within the league? And what behavior are they going to get to call everyone out on, right? Like if your newest, most junior, brand new person shows up and is like, whoa, you said this was like a league that was really about fun, but this feels really aggressively competitive to me. Like, do they get listened to? Is that heard? Is that actually your value? You know, like these are sort of the complicated questions. And so, I mean, it gets messier and messier, right? How can we empower everyone in this space to be carriers of the culture and to be part of an ecosystem that is moving our culture toward where we want it to be?
I've watched like my local teams evolve over time quite a bit. Like one team was the super aggressive competitive team. The other team was the super happy fun team, but also was kind of competitive. And then I just watched them change over time, like going back and forth along the spectrum until eventually I think they switched places in some ways, which is so strange to see over time. But I like one of the things you said about just like an idea we can all get behind. My favorite mission statement I ever saw was from my third league I was a part of. And it was something along the lines of, our mission is to get better at playing roller derby and pursue things that help us get better at playing roller derby. It was something very, very simple. And what I loved about that was it immediately defined, oh, we're here to have fun and play roller derby, and we really want to get better at it. We're going to be competitive and fun, but we're also not going to get bogged down by things that sometimes can distract from the main goal, which is we actually came here to play a sport. Because sometimes different leagues will get distracted by like, we need to do 20 events, and some of them are random charities and some of them are for the community. And you know what? That's really great too. But if it feels like that's starting to be so big that it's taking away from the reason you came to be here, then that's kind of a turnoff. So I like that there was a vision for that. And like you at least knew, oh, this is why we're here. And whenever we're considering whether or not we should do something, we can at least come back to these words and be like, does this help us get better at roller derby? Yes or no. If it means like working with a community partner that's going to help us like with funding something so we can get better at roller derby, then yes. If we're not really getting anything out of it, but we think it would just be nice to do, then we should maybe question it a little bit.
Sure.
For our, you know, our energy levels and everything over the course of the season.
Yeah, there's only so much energy and so much time and so much, you know, so many resources of humans that bring to these different experiences. That's a great vision statement, you know, whatever they called it, because it's so simple, right? And I think I've seen others where there's like a 25 point values page document about who we are in the world. You know, like it can get very, very, very complex. And I think there's a place for that. But if you ask someone if they're acting in alignment with their code of conduct and they're like, well, you mean page 47 or, you know, part sub B on page 9, like, I don't know, you know, people don't hold this like an encyclopedia in their mind, like they don't know. So being able to have this simplified, like that seems like a great one. Get better at sport and do things that help us get better at the sport. Great. Like that seems like enough to define it. And then there, this hopefully within that space, that league, anyone could show up and be like, you know, someone's like, hey, let's go do this thing. Let's go, you know, make cookies for whatever this organization. And they're like, well, does this help us? You know, does this align? You know, anyone should be able to be like, does this align with what we want or what we need? And I think you're right though, too. Like things are more complicated than, well, making cookies might not make me better skater, but maybe that builds a connection in the community that brings in more people that, you know, like there's,
and maybe if we were doing it together, it was a team bonding thing too, which made us stronger teammates. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. There's more to it. But I think I like that idea of intention. And I think that's where culture starts to degrade when people lose that sense of intention around why they're doing the thing they're doing or what those shared values, shared vision, those core pieces, like, are they just something on the website, on the, you know, on the Facebook page, or are they something that we actually keep alive by using, by talking about, by, you know, debating from time to time? Like, are they still relevant? I think is fair. Like you mentioned, the two teams that sort of switched on the spectrum of competitive to fun. And I think that happens, you know, teams, you know, whoever their skill level goes up and then, you know, plateaus, or maybe skill level decreases, like these happen, you know, people come and go, whatever happens over time, coaching turns over, many reasons this can happen. And so I think we both agree that you don't have to be one or the other, fun or competitive. You can be fun.
You can be both.
That's totally not a word. But there's But things change and evolve. And I think keeping these things alive means revisiting some of these conversations, revisiting some of these deeper core values from time to time. It's not like every week or every day you need to do this. Maybe every season is probably not a bad idea, because I'm sure you have new people in, you know, people change and within themselves, and the number type, who is there at any given time changes. So how to address this team this year, these people right now, I think matters. How do we keep alive the best parts of what we, you know, what we've been handed, but also how do we grow and move forward in meaningful, useful, productive ways?
And as far as the spectrum goes, I don't think it's bad to be strong towards one end or the other, but I don't think you should be 100% competitive or 100% fun, because then you might be missing the drive in one area or missing the reason why you came here in the first place in the other area. But, you know, if you were at 90% and everyone was on board with that, I would say, okay, if you've at least understand your culture and you know how to nourish it and you can keep this going. But if enough new people come in that aren't on board with that, I think that's, like you're saying, that's where you start to look at your intention again and just kind of come together and be like, what do we want to be? And maybe it's something you all have to agree upon. And maybe it can be something as simple as a statement of what we're trying to do, and then seeing if everything aligns with that.
For sure. And I think and it depends on how many people you have, right? I think some places they have like the A team and the B team, or they have, you know, the development crew and then the competitive crew. You know, like I think there's ways, if you have more than like 15 people, to like kind of separate out, and like the competitive spectrum is one way that I think groups are separated out, and skill level obviously is another one, and you know, different things. But I think you can have very unskilled players who are very competitive and are going to really dive into like moving up, you know, the competitive, you know, being more and more competitive. And I think you have skilled athletes, you know, from other sports who are like, you know, I'm just here to recreate, I'm just here to have fun, like I don't want to engage in a really aggressive competitive sport, even though my skill level might be relatively higher, you know, comparatively to someone that's newer to skating, for example, or something like that. So I think the making space for people is one thing. And I think when you are one team, you know, one league, and it's small, you know, you don't have these options of like, well, I'm on the like A7 team and versus the B4 or 5, you know, like whatever it is, like, you know, there's not always room to divide people out and offer a team for each of these sort of different competitive levels or each of these different skill levels in some places. You know, there's just not capacity to have a brand new skater team and you know, experienced travel team, for example. But I think once you decide what you're pursuing, then people understand what they're getting into, right? Like, I think people, like a culture that we're like, we're here to grow and improve, we're here to play derby. I mean, this is, it sounds obvious, like, oh yeah, that's obviously why I joined the Derby League, was to play derby. But that's not really why people are there. That's not what keeps people there. That's not the connections or relationships that they build that keep people engaged over time, even though they might be curious and might be into learning about the sport. Like, there's lots of reasons. I think you mentioned some of those, that people are there sometimes for maybe more social interactive and more connection and more just like a different sense of community versus a sense of like, I just want to sweat really a lot and like do something very physically demanding.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you can have basically an overall organizational culture, but then you can kind of have like these subcultures with your individual teams if you're fortunate enough to have a large enough organization to support multiple teams, or even like a rec section of your league, which it's something so aspirational for many of us. Like, we wish we could have the rec section for the retired skaters, the ones who wish they could still be skating but don't super want to compete anymore. And it's so hard to actually have the people to do that. But it would be a nice way to accommodate everyone.
Sure. Sure. Or like the, I think other places they call it like the club, you know, like they have like the league and then the club, which is sort of like the accessory group of people, maybe those retiree folks, or, you know, like just like sort of a different vibe and a different thing. And I think like it would say a different culture, and whether that's under the same ecosystem umbrella of the league, or it's like sort of a side, you know, organization out there. I think there's, yeah. It's hard. I think it's hard because just for the reasons you were saying, there's only so much energy, and ecosystems are so interdependent and complicated, and who and how and what, like any person does at any given time can have that influence within an ecosystem and have an effect and have a rip, you know, ripples will come out from any of those types of things at any given time. And so I think the best thing you can do is try to be clear, which is not at all shocking, but clear, but also accurate. Like, what are we actually here for? Like, what is like the purpose, the reason? What are we headed for? What are our goals? Like, oh, we want to be competitive within our region. We want to be competitive in our state. We want to be competitive in our country. We want to be competitive internationally, like whatever it is. Or we want to build a community that thrives. We want to build a community that, these are, again, like these two spectrums, right? You can do both. We want to be seen as a resource in our community. Great. We want to be a place where to bring people together within our community to empower them as individuals, as women often, it's, you know, some leagues would say, or as we want to be an organization that supports the people of our community. Great. Like all these are excellent missions, excellent visions. How real are they? How much do your decisions align with that? And who's holding people accountable? It kind of comes down to, like, within these cultures, do we expect the leadership to do all this work to hold everyone accountable? And I think that your folks in leadership would be like, no, I don't have time for that. Like, that's not what I signed up for. We have enough going on trying to manage this business and this operation and, you know, like that side of things. And so how do we support people within the culture to take on the ownership of their piece of the ecosystem? And how do we empower people to engage in a way that we think matters? And fundamentally, at the end of the day, like, you might need to fire people or kick people out. Like, there actually might not be alignment. And that, like, you have to be okay with that at a certain level. Like, things might not actually work with the big open arms of everybody in there. Like, there, it just might not happen for any number of reasons. But whose job is that? Who's, you know, the WFTDA is not going to call you up and be like, hey, kick out that person who was really mean on social media. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, that literally won't happen for many, you know, anyone, you know, higher up in the organization, right? But where, how's that going to happen at your league? How's that going to happen within your team, within your friends, within, you know, your pod, within anything? Like, who's going to be that voice of accountability? And I would say the who is not the question. It's like, how can we all be that voice of accountability? Take ownership for that culture. Take ownership for our part of the ecosystem.
And I think a lot of times not just like the full leadership, but I think people come back to blaming the coach. Like, oh, the coach, whoever the coach is, defines our culture. However, the coach runs practice, etc. One of the best blends I ever saw was actually a partnership of two coaches. And I think last time we talked about the pair of captains that was like Captain Spreadsheet and Captain Hugs.
Absolutely.
It was a relationship similar to that. Like, one was the planner, the deep thinker, and the other was the, is everyone having a good time? But they always backed each other up very strongly. And they were always a united front, which is like the most important thing of any kind of partnership where you're working together. And that's how a really good blended culture happened. But it's really hard for like one coach to be everything to everyone and fulfill all of everyone's needs. It's such a big challenge. And so if you are like a skater in a league where you feel like, I don't know, like the league is just, I don't know, having too much fun, not really working hard anymore, and you want to compete, I often see that skater leaves and goes to another league. And the same for the opposite, like the league is too structured, they're asking way too much of me, I want to go find a more fun league. The individual skater just leaves. And I wish that didn't have to happen, but I think the culture changes only happen if it's multiple skaters getting together and being like-minded about something and then actually talking to other people about it.
Right. It's hard to change it. Like, one person doesn't have enough power, a lot of power to change a whole ecosystem, right? Or a whole culture even. But I think I think there's this idea that people can speak truth to power within their Derby League, right? Like, people should be able to go to their captain, their coach, their, you know, their league bosses and be like, hey, this isn't working out, or like, this seems weird, or, you know, whatever it is, and articulate like a want or a need to those folks. And I think we like to think this is happening and this is possible, and it isn't. And I think you mentioned this exactly, that put it all on your coach is really unrealistic in a lot of ways. Like, the coach doesn't necessarily create the culture, but they can do a lot to influence it, for sure. They can definitely do more to raise up more people and to support behavior they want to see and to call out behavior they don't want to see. Like, that's pretty easy in the coaching world.
Yeah. In theory, the coach has one job, and it's just to make the skaters better at the sport.
Right.
Which is a big job. They aren't supposed to represent everything and everyone, but they're usually the person you see the most.
Right.
And so you see them as like the symbolic, this is the person.
who's pulling all the strings or whatever.
Sure. When I think I was told you too about the captains that I've talked to that were like, yeah, I really wanted to give motivational speeches and I'm here supporting people emotionally. Like, that's not actually what I thought I was signing up for, to be a captain even at a team. You know, like the sort of the needs that people have come, you know, kind of filter up if it's a positive relationship, if there's some trust in that relationship, like you will learn more about people or maybe what their challenges are, what they're struggling with, things like that. And not everyone, I think, is prepared to support other folks in different ways, and to assume that they are is a huge assumption. Like, watch your assumptions there, people. If you assume your coach or your captain is going to be able to be there for you no matter what. And I think there's a sense of community and a sense of support within most derby communities. I mean, there's enough to keep people together and on the team. Like you were saying, if people really didn't mesh with that vibe, they do leave and they quit. They, you know, they find something else to do. They move somewhere else if they can, often, if they still want to pursue derby, or they just sort of fade out from the team. But I think the expectation, like, it's really about the expectations you build within that culture and within that ecosystem. Like, are we a team in a league where we can solve everyone's problems all the time? Like, maybe. Is it more realistic that we can recognize people for who they are and support them however we can, but we're not going to solve their problems for them? Or as a coach, I think the, like, excellent coaching means giving really specific feedback to people. And I think I hear this from skaters often. They're like, oh, I don't get enough feedback. I'm like, well, yeah, if you have one coach and 15 people out there cruising around, like, it's hard to give really specific tailored feedback to everyone. But so we expect that of our coaches. We expect them to make sure everyone's there on time. We expect them to maybe, like, make sure our uniforms are together. And we expect them maybe to, like, make sure our practice space is, like, cleaned and also open and also there. And, you know, like, whatever. We have all these, like, this huge amount of expectations often from folks. And so I think that's just a piece of culture. Like, I think one culture is expecting the coach to do it all, right? Expecting the captains, expecting the leadership, whoever that is, the board president, you know, whoever, the league bosses, to do it all. And I think those are cultures that are sort of not really in alignment with, like, the original ethos, and which is not to say it's, like, the best ethos of derby, that we're doing it together, we're doing it for ourselves. Like, cool. You actually need to be empowered to do the doing part, you know? And am I creating a culture where people are empowered to take action, to do, no matter where they are in the league? If something, they see something, you know, if they don't like how practice is going, if it seems too structured, I've definitely been in practices, walked into practices, which is super interesting, when they're like, hey, we don't have any side conversations. Like, when the captain's talking, no one else talks, then we just go do the thing. There's no conversation, there's no discussion here. Like, the no discussion practice, I'm like, that seems great. People having discussions on the side, whatever. We're not all having a discussion together, versus others where, hey, we're going to, like, talk this out. Like, what questions do people have? You know, it's just sort of a different vibe to how a practice is run. Like, we're going to do this drill. Suddenly there's a lot of back and forth. There's a conversation. Like, what about this? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. Versus, you can imagine the other side where, like, here's what the drill we're going to do. Zip it, go do it. You know? And those are different. And maybe, does it work? Does one better than the other? I don't know. Is one feel better than the other? I don't know. That's very individual. But how does our culture adapt to people who aren't fitting in, that aren't feeling it, that aren't, you know, in alignment with whatever's happening? How do we support / deal with / educate / you know, whatever it is that needs to happen in those situations? I think the expecting to be saved is not fundamentally an empowering position to be in.
Mm-hmm. It's just making me think about my team. Part of our team culture is, I think that we have a lot of intelligent people and we like to foster that. We like to have players who know exactly what they're doing and make plans and know why we're doing things at all times. So we often do have to have the water break that goes just a little bit too long. Sometimes we let the side conversations happen. We usually bring it together for a group conversation, but we have to cut that off at some point so we can do another drill.
Yeah.
We do like exploring things of what we've learned and talking about it to each other, because, like, if you can explain what you just did to someone else, then in teaching you are learning it that much better.
Absolutely. And
so I think we're kind of like a learning culture. We really love learning. We think we're so great when we figured something out. So yeah. We totally feed into that at all times.
It's really satisfying to learn something, right? And see it play out. Definitely. And that seems like a fine culture to foster in your team and to support and to be like, hey, here's actually how we operate. We're about learning. And if that's, you know, if that's not your normal mode of being, cool, you have to be able to tolerate that to fit in, to, like, you know, to feel successful here. Like you have to kind of be on board enough with this versus, you know, not everyone can drive the train, right?
You have to deal with curious people who like to talk a lot in our organization.
Right. Well, I don't think you're alone. I feel like there's a lot of learning that just happens in Derby. It's not a, you know, most of us didn't, I sure didn't grow up playing Derby. There are people that have, obviously, you know, there's those junior skaters that are crushing it as adults, but most folks come to Derby as an adult with just maybe having seen or watched, but not having participated. And there's so much learning. There's a huge learning curve for many, I would say, I'm going to put myself out and say most folks who come to Derby, there's a big learning curve around the sport, how to do it, what it is, like just all the aspects of it. And so supporting that seems like a great idea. And I'm sure there are other places where like, well, here's our mode of teaching you is different, you know, versus you want to converse and talk and like have that sort of back and forth. Great. That seems like a fine way to do it if you want to foster that culture. And then if you have someone show up in your practice and they're like, everybody shut up and skate. Like, I think that would over well, right? Like that would, people would be like, what's going on here? Like, why are we told to shut up?
I feel like that's a phrase that's often seen on t-shirts and hats and such things.
Right. But if that's probably not on a t-shirt or hat at your league, you know,
no.
Like that would not be popular versus like, let's talk about it, then skate, you know, like, great. Like that, not as catchy of a t-shirt slogan. Right. But like, that's who you are or how you operate. I think some of these things are hard to articulate to other people. I mean, that's an easy one. You can show up at a practice and see it and kind of get the vibe. And I know other places, people shop around different teams or different leagues. Like they'll go visit a practice or go visit a, you know, about or different things to kind of get the feel of the sense of culture. But I think it's subtle in some ways too. And I think that's a great articulation of what you value, but does it say that anywhere on your like mission or vision? We're here to learn.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it's written down.
But that's how you roll, right?
Like, it's just something we all know just based on how we interact with each other and what our coach has noticed, like gets us the most fired up and interested.
But then they still know to cut it off eventually. Like, yeah, if you only have water breaks, there's a balance there, you know, and it maybe for you is skewed more toward conversation than shut up and skate all the time. But eventually, I'm sure there is someone who says like, okay, we need to skate.
And that's usually our coach who steps in. Like there's a level of trust where he basically says, okay, we're going to do this drill. I want you to try it first and then we'll go talk about it. Cause I want you to actually figure some stuff out. Cause if you start talking about the hypotheticals now, then we're never going to get through it. So let's try it. Then we can talk about what actually happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, see how it feels first. I've definitely, been in trainings. I think if you want people to practice a conflict resolution sort of method, they will suddenly have like a million reasons why that might or might not work. I'm like, great, shut up and go try it. And then we'll come back. Like, go do it for a second. Just give it a try. Like, I know you're uncomfortable or it feels awkward or it seems weird or different, but it's okay to try stuff out sometimes and then come back versus at the beginning, and people are resistant to different things. I'm sure there are drills where people are like, that's not going to work. That doesn't make sense. You know, whatever. Great. And you said like the right word, trust, right? Like there has to be this level of trust to make these things happen. Coaches only have authority based on trust, and skaters only flow really well when they trust each other, you know, like on the track. Like you have to be able to trust that people are going to be doing the right thing at the right time, literally having your back, literally, you know, wherever they are around you. For things to work, for things to flow.
Do you think trust is at the core of all this culture conversation, that no matter what our culture is, we kind of have to trust in what we can expect from each other?
I think trust is a huge part of it for sure. And especially, and I think in Derby, there's like the very physical pieces of trust, but also kind of in the normal human society, like the mental and emotional pieces of trust, right? You know, like those kind of more everyday. I think trust is really important for things to progress. Like I think trust feeds growth, and without trust, you're not going to grow.
Like you were saying before, as far as the expectation of if somebody is getting out of alignment, who's going to be the one to go like get them back in alignment with everything? And I feel like you almost have to start with trust first, and trust that they're going to do the right thing that goes along with what everyone else is doing, and like lead with that before the, here's all the bad things that are going to happen to you if you get off the path here.
Right. Here's like the 27 ways we're going to punish you if things go wrong, and don't do anything wrong. You know? Yeah. It doesn't, inspire trust. It doesn't inspire confidence for sure either, I think is another piece of that. But yeah, I think if you really have no trust of the people around you, you aren't going to put yourself out there and put yourself at risk or open yourself up to vulnerability. And by vulnerability or risk, I mean like growth. You know, you either are stagnating or you're growing, and stagnating is actually just decay because you can't really stagnate. But if you don't have enough trust in the people around you, in yourself, in, you know, you're not going to take on the risk of putting yourself out there to grow, to learn, to move forward. So yeah, I think those are really key pieces and parts that within this ecosystem of culture get damaged over time, right? Like, oh, I actually can't trust that person. Like, oh, wait, they were really mean. They seemed really mean in this situation. I don't know if I should trust them. And it sort of, it bleeds over. It connects back and forth. Like if you really can't trust someone, like with, I don't know, like off the track, like, oh, they're a cyber bully. Like, this is the worst. But now I'm supposed to skate with them and like hold the line with them, you know, like be like really close to them. Like, I think that erodes these different things. I don't think we're really good at compartmentalizing trust.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I guess I want to bring it back to the place where I started this conversation, which is a lot of us haven't come back to Derby yet, but we hope to at some point. I think my team is aiming for summer.
Great.
That seems
good luck.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe, who knows? I guess my question is, what if the team you come back to doesn't feel quite like the team you left? And the culture has changed. How do you handle that, like, as an individual and try to bring people together when you've probably all been separated for so long? I don't know of many teams that have kept up with regular team meetings and, I don't know, off skates practices and whatnot.
I think every league I've talked to has been like, the energy has definitely waned over time, you know, in some places, like they've gotten some, you know, things were picking back up and then have decreased, you know, like it's been up and down. And I would say, I don't think you should expect your culture to be the same when you get back. Like, people have changed. I know this has been a time too where a lot of people are like, cool, oh wait, I can do all this other stuff with my life, I'm gonna retire, you know, like I think there's just like who it even is that comes back when your league comes back, I think will be a different group of people. Meanwhile, roller skating has gone through the roof and there's like a million new people like, I want to, wait, there's a sport like this, amazing, you know, like so there may be potentially like a lot of new people and maybe like fewer returning folks that have been around longer. So, or whatever happens, even one new person like influences the ecosystem around them,
especially if it's a small league.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like each person is like 10% of the league. Like, oh yeah, that will have some influence, right? Or 5% maybe is a little more reasonable. But I think I would have people start back with what those conversations are. I think this is also this huge opportunity, this break in time to look at culture more intentionally. I think when you're in the day to day and you're going and going, and going, like you're like, oh, I guess that's okay. I guess this is fine. I guess this feels good. I guess whatever, you know, people don't always take the time to step back and look into literally the culture of the ecosystem. What is creating this vibe, this feeling, our goals, our values, all these pieces on a league and on a team. And so this is a great time to do that introspection. And I would have people start back with that. Who are we? Who do we want to be? Who are we now? You know, maybe that's who we were pre-pandemic and that's where we were headed and what was going on, but who are we now and where are we going now? What are we going to stand on? What are our values and our foundations right now with this people, with these people at this time in this place? So I think it's just actually a benefit to have this break. So it's obvious that you're like, oh wait, we're not starting over again, but we're starting again. So we need to figure out, maybe we should start at the beginning again. So I would help people would have some of those more foundational conversations again. And I think this is also an opportunity for to recognize the growth or change or evolution that's happened while people are away, you know, like while people are still out there growing and living and, you know, doing things on their lives, and who they are when they come back may have changed and evolved, and who they want to be might have changed and evolved. So having those conversations, I would say, would be the first part when people come back, whatever coming back is. And I think I bet it's gonna be like this trickly comeback. And so without intention, you're just gonna pass it by. You're like, oh wait, we can do distant things now. Like, oh wait, we can do this. We're gonna be in a park next week. Oh wait, now we're back to full practice. You know, like my impression is that it will sort of gradually build up in some ways. And so it's gonna be hard to pick that where that start is, you know, for some.
Is it before any interaction with each other physically? Is it before the first full practice.
Yeah. Like, is it like when we start charging dues again, or is it when we've have already done that, you know, like whatever, like those pieces of it, like when are you actually a league, a team? And I think your people that are invested will stay invested, but how do you connect with and be engaged with the whole, everyone in that ecosystem? Like as any place, there are going to be the people who are like, I'm just here to, you know, do my thing and, you know, peace out. So like there's different levels of commitment, different levels of engagement, you know, obviously people are different, but to have put some time and intention into those really foundational conversations, I think will be crucial as people get started again. And it's a great opportunity to do it since there's been this break and this time away.
So it's great to just reflect upon where you all left off as an organization and as a team. And then I think be emotionally ready to accept what is when you get together, see the changes that have happened in everyone, like emotionally, mentally, physically, and like assess that. And then together just kind of determine where you want to go, because there's going to be new goals than before. Like the goals you had in 2020, they're gone. They're just gone now. I'm sorry.
2019? Gone now. Did you have goals from 2019?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Those goals are gone. It's going to be new goals, and figure out what is like realistic, but at the same time gives you something that you're excited about to shoot for, whether it be just, yay, happy, fun times, I'm in Derby again, or now that we're all together and we have this new focus, we want to hit this level in Derby. Like this is the new goal, whatever that might be.
And I think this is also a great time to look back and be like, what did we actually like? What served us well from our previous league team? You know, what were the best parts of that? Mm-hmm. And what were actually the parts that were not really supportive to us? Like what pieces of this should we be letting go of and not carrying forward? Like this is a great moment to look back and be like, what in here didn't actually do what we wanted to do? Even maybe we had good intentions, whatever, who cares? What do we actually want to cut out, and what are we going to feed and continue to grow from our culture?
Yes. I'm so excited. I figured out we're cleaning out our culture closet and we're only keeping what sparks joy.
Great. Do it. Marie Kondo would be so proud. So proud. But it's worth looking at. And I think, and culture, I'd look at that whole ecosystem, right? Like what of our practices, what, I know some leagues are taking this time to look through their policies and, you know, things like that, because they're not skating. So they're, you know, digging into the paperwork and the policy and the blah, blah, blah side of things. Great. What has served you well from that? What hasn't? But I would also look at on day-to-day practice in terms of our communications, in terms of this whole cultural ecosystem, what is serving us well? What is putting us on track or pushing us toward the way we want to go? And what is either holding us back or not serving us, you know, whatever, like hindering us? I think there's lots of ways to look at it and to use that as a way to move forward. Because you have this knowledge, you have all this data, but if you don't dig into it, it's not going to help you.
And at whatever level your team is, whatever type of culture it is, you probably don't come back with like super hardcore expectations of everybody. I would call it more of a soft open when you come back.
Right. When I think they've been talking about that, like we're not going to expect people to be instantly competitive again. Like they literally haven't skated together for a year, you know, like the, like things, I think people are going to need time to just get back into the flow of things, you know, the sport, everything about it.
Yeah. So just like be in touch with your own feelings and just try to figure out where everyone around you is at. And you can start figuring that out before you come back to practice. Like you can just reach out to a few people here and there and just be like, hey, how are you? Tell me about your life.
Sure, for sure. And what did you like about our league in the past? What should we ditch from our league in the past? Those are great conversations to have now. Like why wait?
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, do you think we've talked culture as much as we can today?
We've solved it. We've totally fixed culture.
Oh, good. Like we came up with the closet analogy and now we are good.
Yeah, we got it. Nailed it.
Iggy, thank you so much for helping me clean out my culture closet.
No problem, Jackie. Enjoy. I hope what is left is sparks joy and is also sparkly. Both. That's just my hope for you.
Spark joy and sparkly. I mean, that's the core of Derby, right?
For many. I'm a fan.
Do you have anything coming up to talk about that people should be aware of, or just talk about your normal website stuff?
Yes, I am going to be launching some more workshops and courses starting in February and March. I have masterminds starting in April again. Like those are going to start probably quarterly. I'm kind of getting into a scheduled flow for those. And if in the in-between time, people want to be up-to-dated, that's not even a word, updated and on track, I have a newsletter. And so that you can find that at my website. I've updated all my website, my social media, it's all the same now. It's wslleadership.com at Instagram, at Facebook, I'm technically on Twitter, but don't tweet me because I don't pay attention. But all the places, it's at wslleadership.com. So that if people want to join my newsletter, then they can get like the first update on what's going on, but also content. I think this week I'm looking at this month, it's a monthly newsletter, that sort of the difference between people who are focused on task and people who are focused on relationship and how to balance those out in a way to make your lead yourself and your life and your sport better. So that's a current topic. And then
that's a good one.
connected in there. But that's, I think, where I would send people if they want, because stuff, I'm always adding new things. So thanks for asking. Things are always adding and changing. I'm writing, there's doing stuff. I'm talking about books, doing all kinds of things. So that's maybe the best is the newsletter for upcoming workshops, masterminds, content, self-reflection, all the things.
That sounds very exciting. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks. And people can sign up for that via the website. So that's maybe where that all ties together.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you again, Iggy, for your time today.
It's been awesome talking with you, Jackie. I hope we do it again sometime soon.
Sure.
Thank you again to Iggy for coming on the show this week. I always love our lengthy conversations that just go anywhere and everywhere about these topics that have so much depth to them. Like, you could really just get caught up in the minutiae forever because they're just so interesting and complex and could possibly make people's lives better, which makes them super duper exciting. So thank you so much to Iggy. Thank you to all of you for listening to this episode and caring about your team's culture enough to get invested in it and maybe learn something about what you could do about it. I was actually over here on the website, wslleadership.com, and one of the first things you see there is Get the Guide, 3 Ways to Combat a Toxic Culture from the Inside. I don't know about you, but that sounds handy dandy to me. So that immediately takes you down to a little spot where you can sign up for the newsletter and maybe get some super great info that'll help you, help your team, help your league, and get everyone on the right track, the path you want to be on, whatever that is. You can be competitive, you can be fun, you can be both, you can be whatever you want to be. But it is going to take some effort. It's going to take a little bit of work, some communication, some openness, and I think you can do it. I think you can make your team and your league exactly what you want it to be. Okay, that's a little bit too much. Maybe not exactly, but you can make it like really close to what you want it to be. And you have time to do it. Go talk to your friends, talk to your teammates, get a conversation started, whatever you want. There's no rush, but there's also no time like the present if you want to get things going. Thank you for listening, everybody. And especially thank you to our patrons on Patreon, particularly Tara Wiebenson and Kristen, who are our top tier patrons. And thank you to those of you who shopped in the Threadless store over the break. I had a list. I lost the list. I apologize. You are great. I appreciate your effort to support this podcast. And thank you, as always, to Genergy, our transcriber, who has transcribed so many episodes for this podcast to make them more accessible. Thank you. You are amazing. We have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew! Thank you for listening to another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number 4, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E. You can find fun videos of on and off skates training at our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. You could also support the podcast on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. The benefits of becoming a patron include fun stuff I can send you, like stickers, buttons, or shirts from our Threadless store. You can get access to our Discord server, bonus content, and free giveaways. Plus, patrons now have access to an ad-free version of the podcast that will download to your favorite podcast app each week and everyone can access our transcribed episodes at patreon.com/powerforthwhistle. If you like the content we provide and want to support us on this journey, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to expand your derby wardrobe, of course, another way to support the podcast is visiting our store at powerforthwhistle.threadless.com, where you can get our designs on just about any type of apparel or accessory you can dream up. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. Leaving reviews is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Plus, it's a way you can give back that is completely free. Open up your Apple Podcast app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!